Well, welcome everybody to this latest edition of the Rice Report. My name is Eric Rice. I am your host here. Just a guy in a hoodie giving you some information about the world, some things to think about, some things to pay attention to in the marketplace. My concern here is not making money. I don't even do ads on this site. My concern here is that we have a very uninformed public that is constantly at the whims of whatever narrative is being spewed out at this current point in time. And we also live in a very rapid moving world of information. It's very easy to forget things from 6 months ago because so many things have happened in the 6 months after the event. So this edition here is gonna be really a topic about the exposure of third-party risk. And it's gonna be a kind of a forward-looking economic view of 2024 with the developments we've seen. It's only January 17th at the time of this filming, and we have seen everything from Epstein lists to all kinds of stuff coming out here, caucuses in Iowa, all kinds of stuff happening. We know that there's an election coming up. We can already see the election interference beginning again. We can see all the same tides turning as the last election. I don't get too much, and I try to stay away from politics. Things that I'm really interested in, which is politics and the spiritual side of life. I try to keep this very focused on economics and what we're seeing, but of course it's important to understand the why. We live in a society of a lot of people know what, when, where, and how, but they don't know why. And I'm not claiming that I know why, but I'm very good at putting together disparate pieces of information into making it make sense. So we're gonna focus a lot on the economic war that we're in, whether you realize that or not, is of zero importance to me. It's the reality of the world. We are in an economic war, and how we're looking at the destruction of third-party monetary systems, as well as the constant expanding amount of currency in the marketplace. So I usually go through this and give you the Fed numbers. Here's a simple Fed number. All you need to know is that last year they showed $114 billion loss. Our Federal Reserve, the central bank that controls our monetary policy, runs their business so well that they lost $114 billion last year. That should never happen in a non-corrupt economic environment, but it does show the power of third party in monetary systems. One of the biggest topics out there is the Bitcoin ETF. I'm gonna run through that a little bit. I'll get deeper in that in February. I'm doing a video on a couple of different cryptos that are interesting to me, two for interesting reasons and one for confusion. I don't understand why people are interested in one of them. But I will be talking about that a little bit. I'll be talking about the banking system. I think that's of paramount importance. We've been bred from the time we were born to think that our money is safe in banks. In an environment like this, we're not. There is a very interesting stat that most people don't know. They don't even understand what the reverse repo market is. I don't know if I can explain it simply, but I'm gonna try. The reverse repo market essentially allows banks to take failing securities, give them to the Fed in exchange for cash. It creates liquidity for losing assets that the banks generally commit to buying back at a higher price so the Fed makes money. But at negative $114 billion last year, that's obviously not the case. Now, the reverse repo market is coming to an end. It needs to be cleared out by 3/15 of this year. And the reverse repo market is essentially what has kept the banking fraud alive for the last 20 years. What we're watching develop in 2024 should have happened in 2010, but we've put so many band-aids on the system and given failing banks so many outs to be able to continue to take your deposits, which I will reiterate for probably the 15th time here. The Dodd-Frank Act that came after the 2008 crash eliminated bank bailouts, meaning the government can't bail out banks anymore, despite the fact they just did it in 2023. With three very large banking collapses, three of the largest banking collapses in our nation's history. Now, the Dodd-Frank Act authorizes bail-ins, and I can't stress this enough, that those who are holding cash or money markets and hoping that that's gonna save their income or the livelihood for the next coming years, I have no crystal ball, I don't know, but I can tell you laws are set in place. I'm gonna refer this book to you again called The Great Taking by David Webb. He articulates and references all the law changes where essentially the securities you think you own are owned by the DTCC. Even your car, here's a great example from the book, even your car has a VIN number that was used on a loan that was given from the government or bank to an auto dealer and it's never being removed. So even if you own your car in cash, if that auto dealer defaults on that loan, your car is still technically collateral. Their intention here, we are going through either a great awakening or a great reset. That's where we are, you know, from a historical standpoint. The great Reset would mean that the banking institutions would seize all of your assets, transfer them quickly on cross-border payments, and essentially you would own nothing and be happy. Not a conspiracy theory, because the entire World Economic Forum's slogan for the last 2 years is you'll own nothing and be happy. So this is, and Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, actually wrote an entire book called The Great Reset. So time to start paying attention to these things and moving your money around in the right way. Now, in this economic war that we're in right now, we're facing a big enemy. So you have the Western world, which is essentially the United States, the UK, and Israel. We are battling against the BRICS nations. Started out as Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa is now expanded to 60 nations, either through approval or application. We're looking at a very large play to remove the dollar as the global reserve currency, which is pretty much done at this point. We just haven't seen it. We're no longer using U.S. dollars for a majority of energy trades, oil and gas. That has now been taken over. The protection of Saudi Arabia has now been taken over by China and Russia, and they're now using yuan for a lot of the oil sales around the world. So we are facing that. But in this war, we have a mounting de-dollarization faction in BRICS. And there are people who are rooting for BRICS in America. I don't know that they understand the devastation it would cause to transfer power from our dollar to another dollar. And again, it would still come with banks. It would still have banking systems which carry third-party risk. So third-party risk is a really important thing. In a banking environment, I'm the first party. I give you a deposit. The bank is the third party that holds it so that I can pay a second party. So I send them a wire, I use a credit card. All of that, it encompasses third-party risk. Now, the third-party risk in the banking sector is getting increasingly more dangerous. It's already known that there are $700 billion in losing assets or unrealized losses by banks. Now, traditionally, they take these unrealized losses, they go to the reverse repo market, they get liquidity, they make some money, they buy it back. That's no longer going to be an option for them. So I think it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to see a banking crisis in the year moving forward. This is kind of a foregone conclusion. Then we have to calculate in interest rates. So the basic way to put this is inflation goes up because you allow too much, call it fancy word, quantitative easing. Basically, they printed too much money. They've diluted the power of each dollar because there's too many of them. Scarcity is a very important thing when it comes to value. And when that happens, they then begin quantitative tightening or raising interest rates, making the dollar more expensive, removing dollars from the market, creating an illusion of scarcity. Now, we've gone through this massive interest rate hike or quantitative tightening era. And during that time frame, they've actually still printed $3 trillion. So quantitative tightening that has happened through interest rate hikes has not done a darn thing for overall inflation. I expect the year 2024 to be a wild ride all around, whether it's geopolitical, domestic. We'll go back to the World Economic Forum. They have stated that their top five risks that they see in 2024, and mind you, they control most of the stuff, so it generally comes true. They become fake prophetic. They talked about, of course, misinformation, disinformation, which just means anything that goes against the narrative they want you to live by. But they also state disease X. We don't even know what the disease is, but there's a new pandemic coming and everyone should get vaccinated for a vaccine for a disease that doesn't exist that we know of. This is probably coming in 2024. There'll be a big push for a new pandemic to close things down. The other side doesn't want to see an election take place. And it won't matter if they don't remove voting machines and go back to paper ballots, it won't matter. But at the same time, the World Economic Forum has also stated they see a massive cyber attack being a very strong possibility in the next 2 years. I would expect a cyber attack of grand scale to occur in 2024. There's just too many geopolitical components there. That will bring on an era of pain. Most people are used to in a cashless society that they've preached is such a good thing. Most people will be struggling if that happens. And that's a great time to usher in CBDCs that come from central banks and live on their rails and have their programmed tokens for you. I would expect that to be something that more people are aware of as time goes on and even a possibility. But let's look at the interest rate environment. So on the interest rate front, we saw at the end of the year, Jerome Powell come out and say, there's a possibility that we may cut rates a couple of times in 2024. The stock market analysts, who are are out of their mind at this point in time, I'll get into that in a moment, they immediately built in 6 interest rate cuts, which pumps the market up. They've bumped that up to 8 interest rate cuts. And these may happen. I'm not a prophet. I'm not here to tell you what this is going to happen, that's going to happen. I have no idea. But I do look at the game theory behind it. And one of the things that's not being equated, the market's very excited about dropping, about lowered interest rates, right? That theoretically helps the stock market. It never does in these types of environments with the holistic picture from the macro perspective. However, it's an excitement people have. But we are not, what people aren't understanding is the de-dollarization effect of the BRICS movement. They want to destroy and pummel the dollar. And every time interest rates go up, the dollar gets stronger. So in a logical environment with no threat from the outside, you could manipulate interest rates, manipulate the currency, and manipulate inflation very simply. However, when there's an entire faction of, you know, approximately 70% of the world's population working against the dollar, lowering interest rates becomes harder. Because if you lower the interest rates, you're lowering the buying power or the value of the dollar. So in an economic war, which is all based on currency value, you have this really, really, really difficult Mexican standoff. Do I lower the rates, raise the rates? If I lower the rates, the stock market could do better, although historically that's not been the case in the last 3 years of development that we've seen historically. And if I lower my interest rates, it will certainly make lending easier if there's cash available to lend, but it's also going to weaken the dollar, which strengthens the enemy. So you really have to think about that balancing act, because I don't hear many people talking about BRICS. I hear them talking about it online, and I hear people praising the idea of BRICS. I kind of agree. I don't think there should be a global reserve currency that any one nation controls. But at the same time, these are our enemies trying to punish Americans for forcing the dollar down everyone's throat for the last 50 years, which is true. Now, when we look at this environment, we have to look at what would happen. So if we saw interest rates drop, if the stock market is correct and the analysts are correct and they lower rates 8 times, let's just call it a quarter of a point per rate drop, we look at a 2% drop in rates. You see a dollar collapse. You see a 10%, 15%, maybe even as high as a 30% drop in the value of the dollar, which will create hyperinflation. Hyperinflation would then force the Federal Reserve to raise the rates once again. And if you have to continually raise the rates to fight off inflation, you find yourself in the same economic turmoil. More importantly, if the dollar drops from a rate drop, and then we see hyperinflation and we see interest rates rise again, you will see stocks, bonds, and real estates really take a bath. So the decisions being made at the Federal Reserve are difficult. Most of what we're watching economically is so horrifically bad and so overtly covered with propaganda, it's hard not to imagine that it's not orchestrated. But that is the likely outcome of 8 interest rate drops. You have dollar collapse, not a full collapse. You have the dollar dropping in value, hyperinflation, then followed by interest rate rises, followed by stocks, bonds, and real estate really, really taking a big bath. Now, inflation, one thing people aren't talking about in inflation moving forward in 2024 is our borders. You know, best estimates right now are between 8 and 13.5 million people have come into this country. There's, of course, the basic concerns of who are they and why are they here. It's very easy to show that there's an army building within our walls. Like it's a different podcast I'll do. From an economic perspective, you don't have 13.5 million people who theoretically don't have jobs, despite the fact that in the past year, 1.4 million jobs were lost by Native Americans, people who are native to this land. So native workers, American-born, American people, lost 1.4 million jobs to foreigners last year alone. So you'll see a big spike, in my opinion, you'll see a deterioration of the labor market over this coming year. It's already difficult for people to fill open spots at a company, which people think is a good thing. It's not. If people don't want to work, economies don't work. And an environment like this, especially for younger generations, it looks pretty bleak. I will say that I give you bleak information because I'm telling you the truth of the world. I see a very bright future in 2025, 2026, but I think 2024 is the darkness you have to walk through to get to the light. Now, the crisis from World Economic Forum is misinformation, disinformation, a new pandemic. What were the other three? You had in there, the two that were important to me are the cyber attack, a mutating event, they call it a mutating event, where a cyber attack in one region will spread through other regions. And then armed interstate conflict. This is predictive programming. It's not necessarily a prediction. These things are kind of already baked in. And when they talk about the armed interstate conflict, it would have to be the massive immigration into this country, Spain, the UK, Ireland, Scotland, Germany. The entire world is being invaded essentially by lesser caliber citizens of other countries. They are emptying jails. They are emptying psych wards in foreign nations, as confirmed by phone calls I've had with people in those countries. So we are at a very difficult time. It's a totally different conversation. But from an economic perspective, let's take the high side. 13.5 million migrants are in this country. Well, they're given $2,000 every time they cross the border. Some of them are crossing the border two and three times to save money. But once that $2,000, which in today's spending environment doesn't go very far, what happens to them then? Some are getting jobs, but the other are going on welfare. You see states like California, where now they're paying for, you know, if you're a Californian, which I formerly am, I had to pay a lot of money to live in that state for really little in return. Now it's going to cost more. So they're giving free health care to illegal immigrants. In certain states, they're approving firearm sales for illegal immigrants. This is not a good path. This is not a good way for a nation. But from an economic perspective, the latest breakdown was we've already spent $500 billion bringing people into this country. You can pretty much bank on that continuing through this administration. $500 billion per year spent getting them into the country. How much money is going to be spent to keep them here? You know, that's the real question. So this is where money printers just go nuts. They start printing more money. It's easy to see that quantitative easing will come back despite the debt ceiling negotiation. If you're looking for Washington, D.C. to solve these problems, it's never going to happen. They're part of the problem. So are the central banks. Anything involved with central banks right now needs to be looked at with a very, very, very close eye. So in this time frame, we have to look at some of the stats that are out there right now. So the stock market, people have said it's going to crash for a while. I've said I don't give a time frame on it. I don't know. I will put a time frame on it. I think by midsummer we'll see activity there. The S&P 500 just came out with new valuations. So we are now at 8 times the price to earnings ratio of international stocks for U.S. stocks. 8 times. That is the highest on record. To give you a reference on that, in 2008, the S&P 500 stocks were 4x, not 8x, international stocks. We are twice as overvalued in the stock market today as we were in 2008. The Magnificent Seven, the main stocks that carry the weight of the S&P 500, literally carry the weight. Their market cap is now bigger than all nations' GDP, with the exception of the United States and China. That is what's called top-heavy, very top-heavy. And when something is very top-heavy, it's very easy to knock over. You could look at any top-heavy object in your life. If it has a strong center of gravity, it's difficult to push over. But when it's top-heavy, it's very easy to see. Now, the flip side of the stock market is you're seeing the inflows and outflows, which don't exist on the outflow side yet, but the massive inflow of money into money market accounts. We have just gone from $4.5 trillion to $6 trillion in the matter of 18 months into money markets, and $182 billion has already been transferred into money markets in the first 2 weeks of 2024. This is what's called a flight to quality, a flight to safety, whatever it is. Many people are sensing poor economic times ahead, but we keep hearing there may be a soft landing or there may be no landing. Hard landing is the only feasible option that any person of integrity, logic, and belief in the truth sees moving forward, and it's something to certainly begin to prepare for. Now, along with this, it's important to look at shipping costs. With all the activity of the missiles in the Red Sea and the Houthis and the United States and Iran, that conflict is growing. So when we look at one of my last videos, I talked about one of the things to watch is if the war in the Gaza Strip expands. Well, it's expanded. The Houthis are now bombing us. We're bombing them in the Red Sea. And most shipping companies have stopped shipping in the Red Sea. That's a war indicator. The economic indicator is that shipping costs have risen 120% since then. To give you perspective on this type of increase, the last time we saw this type of shipping price increase was during the pandemic, and that was 168%. So with fully operational economies around the world, 120% increase in shipping costs for standard goods is never a good thing for society. That creates even higher costs, higher inflation, and it puts people who are trending paycheck to paycheck in an awful position moving forward. Now, I will get into some of the things we see. I'm gonna throw in here just randomly a stat that I find fascinating. Arctic sea ice levels have risen to the highest levels in 21 years. So I think we can stop talking about global warming as the world is cooling. Just a quick tidbit in there, because I'm not a I'm not against green energy, or I'm for any type of new energy. What I'm against is lying and propaganda and convincing people that wind and solar will replace oil and gas and coal has been a fallacy from day one. And it was all predicated on climate change and global warming. Well, Arctic ice levels are rising. That's a fact. Now, the National Bureau of Economic Research came out with a stat that I think is a trigger point for economic calamity moving forward, one to really pay attention to. They recently came out and did an evaluation of commercial loans across the country, and they said 14% of the $2.7 trillion market of commercial real estate loans, which 44% of it is comprised of office buildings, 14% of these loans now have a higher loan value than asset base. We saw this activity in 2008 in homes. People owed more than their home was worth after a collapse. We still haven't seen a big drop, yet 14% of a $2.7 trillion market is already underwater. So if you look at all these things from the right perspective, you have to get into understanding this whole Bitcoin craze, which you need to understand crypto. There is Bitcoin and there is crypto. They are separate. Bitcoin has had an interesting run lately. It was actually approved as a reserve asset for corporations and individuals for tax purposes. So you will start seeing corporations holding Bitcoin on their books because it will be a registered asset and improve their valuation. You've also seen BlackRock, along with I think 15 total ETFs were launched. I've been in finance for well over 20 years. I have never seen 15 ETFs get approved and launch so quickly and simultaneously ever in my life. What we're watching is the destruction of third-party risk. Third-party risk is about to come into play in a very big way. Again, a bank is a third party. A securities firm is a third party. And please, please, please take the time to read the book or watch The Great Taking. There are plenty of videos out there that are theoretical that will give you, I think this could happen, or Klaus Schwab said this. David Webb took the time to reference and point to every single law that essentially has already claimed ownership. You are a proxy owner of your assets at this point in time. This is something that will unfold in the next year, year and a half, more than likely by the end of this year because of an election. But during this time frame, it's important to understand why all of a sudden the narrative changed from on Bitcoin from gangsters and criminals using it for money laundering into we need an ETF. Well, I think what we're watching is capitulation of an old system into a new. I'll go into Bitcoin in a later video. There's only two derangement syndromes that exist in the world. There's Trump derangement syndrome and Bitcoin derangement syndrome. Those are the only two syndromes I can see in the world I exist in. And it's a very misunderstood. It's not it is maybe a form of new money, but it's more of a reserve asset. That is what it is. That's why they're allowing it as a reserve asset. It is a full, complete monetary system. I won't get into Bitcoin too much, but the premise of Bitcoin is that it decentralizes money. It removes money from the state. So for all of our lives, all of our money was always associated with a government. And that hasn't turned out too well. We're watching the tail end of that. The fiat systems starting in the French Revolution always end in the same way. Rome, same kind of ending. We're living in it. Whether you want to believe that or not is completely up to you. But it is factual. We are living in the end times of a fiat system. So we're watching places like BlackRock and Grayscale and some of these other funds out there. They're using investor capital to buy a tangible asset that's fungible, scarce, fits all the criteria of money, of what sound money would be. You're watching them use your money so that they can own the actual asset. So a lot of people are asking me, should I buy this Bitcoin ETF? My answer is no. If you're going to buy Bitcoin or any cryptocurrency that you feel based on your research, and I'd spend 100 hours researching, I've spent about 2,000 hours researching this stuff in the last couple of years, but I would spend 100 hours at least understanding an asset you invest in because it's very complicated. It will get simpler over time. But essentially what these ETFs are is they are a fiat conversion of a great asset. They did the same thing to gold. The price of gold without manipulation from a paper market, a spot price controlled by central bankers, should be around $8,000 to $10,000. That's standard inflationary trends where you'd be. But here we are at 2030, 2050. They plan to do the same thing. If you're going to get into the Bitcoin space, which I would advise you doing, it is an asset class that has outperformed everything for 10 years, and last year was about 160%. We have a halving event coming up. Most of you don't know what that is. I'm going to do a video in February with illustrations and breakdowns and stuff that you can really grab onto on a different channel. But it's important to understand that if you're going to get into the crypto space, get into the crypto space. Don't let BlackRock or Grayscale or any of these places own your crypto for you. It's cash in, cash out, not Bitcoin in, Bitcoin out. Buy your own Bitcoin, store it in cold storage. It's an asset, put it in your safe. If you're unfamiliar with how to do that, there's great companies like River is a good one out there, Unchained Capital. They are going to help you self-custody your assets and protect them in a vault. It's super important to understand. But what we're watching is these large institutions that have been managing this old system for a very long time capitulating to a new system and trying to gather up all the assets using your money. That's bottom line what's happening in that space. I think over time what we'll see as the years go on that Bitcoin will become more popular, people will understand it. Whether it appreciates in value doesn't matter. It's measured in fiat currency that's honestly worth about 2 cents on the dollar at best. But what we'll see is we'll see a cyber attack being used to say, see, it's the cryptocurrency people. They're the bad guys. We got to eliminate this and go to a CBDC so the government, which always has your best interest in mind, can take control of this digital monetary system moving forward. There's a big war taking place for this. It's a super interesting world to get into. But when you understand that the financial system we're in right now is short-circuiting before it breaks, I think that's an important thing to understand. I think we'll see a stock market get pumped up in Q1 and Q2. I think you'll see the S&P 500 break 5,500 before it starts to collapse. This is very standard. This happens at the fall of all of these types of systems. But I think in the end, what you'll see is a full-scale revolution by the year mid-2025 financially, peacefully, with people, you know, essentially you vote with your dollars. You can continue to give your dollars to a central bank system. You can continue to give them to a federal government that is doing nothing for you, or you can get yourself out of the system and hold on to tangible assets, which I've said for a long time, gold, silver, raw land, oil and gas investments, energy type investments, and Bitcoin, or some form of cryptocurrency you believe to be better. So make sure that you are taking the time to sift through this, and we'll have some videos coming out again under a different channel in February. Fully illustrative of the crypto market. I think it's great for beginners. I've taken 3 years before I've come public with my opinions on this space because it's a very difficult market to navigate. And I've actually gotten to know some of the big players that are huge on all of, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, XRP. I know a lot of these people that believe in it. And everyone has an opinion. We don't know what the future will bring. But what I do know is that the decentralization of Bitcoin is a solution to the banking cartel problem that we have today. Don't do it through the ETF. You're just buying an ETF. You're not buying Bitcoin. Buy Bitcoin the traditional way. There's plenty of companies out there that can help you self-buy and then self-custody. At the end of the day, I think that 2024 is going to be a very big roller coaster ride. You're going to see a lot more of me as we go through this because there's a lot of confusing things that are happening. Stuff I'm going to watch between now and our next episode are certainly going to be the expansion of the war in the Middle East. I'm going to watch what happens in certain parts of Asia who are in this banking system process right now. I'm certainly going to watch the Bank of Japan. The Bank of Japan is beyond triage. It's now in hospice. When the Bank of Japan finally admits its failure, you're going to see a ripple effect of many different potential black swan events throughout the world. So plenty of things to pay attention to and watch in the coming days, coming months. But it is fascinating to see where we are, where people are starting to understand that there is a financial war, that BRICS are trying to destroy the dollar. Our government is not doing anything to thwart it or stop it, which is probably the scariest thing. They're also doing nothing to stop and thwart immigration at the border. All of these things are going to create, I believe, a scenario where we find ourselves where interest rates drop, unemployment jumps significantly, the dollar loses value, then you have hyperinflation, then you have another round of interest rate hikes, and then you have a massive problem in stocks, bonds, and real estate, which affects pretty much everyone who's watching this who has a 401k or any sort of savings account. So this has been my 30 minutes this week. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for coming to the Rice Report. I don't do any marketing for this thing or make any money. So if this is something that makes sense to you and you'd like to share it with someone, please do that. That would certainly help get information out there. But until next time, I'm Eric Rice. Thank you so much for coming to the Rice Report, and we will see you in our next episode. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.